So today is April 8th, and we're giving you this surprise mini episode of Going Steady. We might have to rename the show in the short term. What were we talking about as an alternative name?
Going Nowhere, because that's where we're going.
So how have you been?
I've been okay. I mean, I suppose right now you can't complain if you're alive and seemingly healthy. So, but it's all very relative, you know, it's like a lot of mood swings, and I'm not a mood swing person, but I'll read one bit of good news and feel so good. And then I'll read one bit of terrifying news and feel terrified. And it's just very up and down. How about you? Yeah, I agree. Those are definitely the developments that
I'm making a point of looking at, you know, what the more positive, well, not positive, that's not the word we want to use, optimistic approach, which is that we have better technology than we did in 1918, and that there are a lot of people very invested in finding a vaccine and solutions. And so I'm optimistic about that.
Make me feel better is just reading about the science and all the people who are working so hard to look for treatments and vaccines and just to understand this thing better, because I think part of the uncertainty is like, there's so much we don't know, you know, like how it works and how it affects us. And it's just even, you know, selfishly finding information about how it affects certain pre-existing conditions. Like they seem to sort of group people into high risk groups. And, you know, I have asthma myself, but it's quite mild as far as asthma goes. And even finding information about that, it's just like, I think they don't know yet. You know, they really don't know who's affected, and maybe it's all random, right? Because perfectly healthy people can die of it. So
I read a lot of data, and I'll look at like the police log every day. Just like our data for like what kinds of calls for service are needed. And so with this, I'm looking at the daily, state of Connecticut release of the test data and all of their information. So instead of turning on the news, I'm just going straight to that. And I find that is very helpful.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, we know that the Connecticut government is more reliable at this moment than the federal government. So there's that. But it's hard because, you know, one thing that this has shown us is that Americans are not the non-traveling, sit at home, watch TV boobs that people say we are. We actually travel quite a lot interstate and to other countries and get out and do things all the time. And unfortunately, that's kind of like the worrisome part, because that's kind of what's killing people.
Although I was looking at, you know, data on this also of and someone was looking at vehicle miles traveled and a separate study. I don't know if study is not really the word, privacy intrusions with Google, checking, like looking at people's location settings. They found that they were able to show how much people have reduced their mobility since the beginning of March. And some parts of the country are not doing super, but in the New York and New England area, we're actually, by those measures, taking things seriously. So,
yeah, I did see that Connecticut seems to be, crossing my fingers, flattening the curve relatively well, especially Eastern Connecticut. And then, of course, you know, you see that Long Island is going to be the next hotspot and the ferries are still running. I go out for my walk and I see the ferries running. So that worries me. But just knowing that some people here, despite the irresponsible people getting the parks shut down, there are also the majority of people are doing the right thing, and hopefully that will get us through.
Yeah, so on our last episode, we were talking about the parks, and since then, a few things have changed, but not too much. A few parks have been shut. Most are still open, but they've been limiting parking capacity. So still check with the official sources to see what's open, what's closed, if town by town.
Yeah, and it changes by the day, and it's not predictable. I mean, Waterford, which is one town over from me, closed all their parks on, I believe, March 30th, and New London itself, as well as East Lyme, have not closed parks, but there are, maybe New London has since, it's hard to keep up. But basically, like, these things change overnight, And it's not necessarily like region based. It's not like all of Fairfield County is shut down and all of New London County is open. It's just like by town, like most things in Connecticut are done by town. And yeah, I worry a little bit about, especially as the weather warms up, more and more people being crowded into fewer and fewer spaces, but hopefully the people in charge will get it together.
Yeah, I mean, because you need to exercise. And so, you know, people just have to be creative. It does not need to be an all or nothing solution. So last weekend, I took a walk up to Elizabeth Park on the Hartford, West Hartford line and saw an example of people just parking, like the parking lots were full and people were parking where they shouldn't have been. The park is very big. I didn't see any big gatherings. Like everyone just seemed to be with their family groups or what have you, and keeping, you know, 30 feet of space between themselves and other people. But the funny thing was seeing about half the people in Elizabeth Park were wearing masks, but half of them were wearing them wrong. And by wrong, I don't mean in a judgy way, but like in a way that doesn't help you. So their mouths and noses were not covered. And yeah, I was like, I don't really understand what we're doing here. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Whereas like I went three blocks away to this little like wooded path along the Park River that no one really knows about, and nobody was there. And so that was great. I got to spin around by myself in the woods.
Do you find that, because both of us, you know, our job and our hobby, I guess, is kind of telling people cool places to go. And I'm starting to feel now like I shouldn't tell people where to go, because I know of a few places like that, like semi-secret woods and stuff. And now I'm like, no, I don't want to tell you.
I'm so conflicted about it, but so I'm on this Connecticut Hiking and Outdoor Adventures group on Facebook, which is like maybe the one place left on Facebook that is not completely toxic. And there's always these new people on who are like, where do we go? Where do we go? And I'm sort of like, here's a link to land trusts. Here's a link to the coastal access sites, and just hoping people figure out that there are other places that they can go. And most people will be too lazy to even click on that link. I did make a secret places map for a friend who did me a total solid, which I'll talk about in our second little segment of this mini episode. But I was like, I trust you. You have earned this. You can know about some of these spots, but I'm not telling anyone like the specifics of how to get into them. Otherwise, look for the green areas on Google Maps, guys, and like figure it out. That's the best I can say. But yeah, I did a walk around my neighborhood like the day after the Elizabeth Park episode and saw fewer people in general out, only maybe three people total wearing masks, but they were all wearing them correctly. So I was like, this is a really interesting demographic experiment that I'm just witnessing. But again, nobody got near me and I didn't get near them. So that was cool.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's what's important. We had to go, I mentioned in the last episode, my mom is staying with me through this. So we did go back to her apartment building to sort of rescue some supplies from her place. And we had been pretty much away from all humans for about a month. And this guy, and I want to use a different word, but I'm not going to, but this guy walked right past us in a like 3 foot wide hallway. And I was just so angry. And partly at myself because I didn't scream at him. You know, when someone does something really shocking and you just like stand there, you just can't believe that they did it. And so he just walked by like as if nothing was happening. So that was the closest I've been to another person. But other than that, I've been trying very hard to learn how to judge distances. I realize it's something I'm not great at. I've started to use kind of my own heights. Like if I lay down on this sidewalk, could I lie down with, you know, 8 inches to spare? That's how I'm measuring 6 feet.
Well, and I don't think that 6 feet, like we say that, but I don't think it's like exactly scientific, right? Like it's basically like put a human, I guess that's not average human height, but put a human sideways, like in between you. And then, you know, just the further you are from somebody, the better, right?
Right. I mean, it's all guessing too, I think. I've seen, I think some countries do 1 meter, which is considerably less. And And then I saw a study that said that if people can sneeze, I believe, and the whatever is in whatever virus they have can be found in the air up to 26 feet away or something.
Yeah, don't think about that part of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the World Health Organization says 1 meter, so 3 feet.
Yeah, which is a lot less.
And the CDC is recommending 6 feet. So now is not the time to snuggle on the sidewalk.
One thing that I will say, though, to say something positive, is that I've seen a lot of kind of nice gestures. Like, well, this is kind of a weird gesture, but it's nice nonetheless. Every night at 7:30 in New London, a bunch of people go outside and bang on pots and pans. And the first few nights I heard it, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was hallucinating about marching bands being out of tune or something. But then I read in the paper that it was, in fact, a concerted effort to show some kind of solidarity. I've also seen a lot of hearts everywhere. And I know that Hartford has like a lot of not just sidewalk hearts, but really nice hearts on some of the large buildings.
Yeah, a friend of mine who lives in one of the nice brownstones downtown, she and her daughter decorated their windows with little construction paper hearts, which was cute, and I wanted to copy it, except that my construction paper, what I have left is all like black, blue, and green, and I just don't feel like that quite, that's not as happy as the red and pink hearts.
No, it's not.
So, I think I haven't seen this. I'm not participating in it, but I guess some people are getting together around here and like cheering for the hospital staff when they do their shift change at night. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be near the hospitals, though, because while someone being at 5.5 feet away from me isn't going to freak me out, I don't need to. I have gone by St. Francis and Hartford Hospital and seen the testing lines and all that stuff, and I'm good.
Yeah, I live quite close to the hospital and sort of can't avoid driving past the little area where they have set up the drive-through testing. And so far, it looks very calm. I've never seen that I can detect even any cars going in there specifically. And it's a little bit sad to look at it and know that in future weeks, that could get really busy. But yeah, for now, it's, I guess people are being surprisingly calm.
I've actually, just an observation that with both Hartford Hospital and St. Francis, I haven't been by where I've seen more than like one car in the testing line, which is really interesting when you take into account the numbers. So I wonder, the first day they opened these up, I saw there was a line, but after that, it's been fairly sparse. So it's just an interesting observation.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think there's so much that we don't know. But other than the difficulties getting food delivery, which is kind of a first world problem, I guess, it's okay so far. So I'm just crossing my fingers that that there's a vaccine soon.
Taking walks is keeping me sane, and I've been taking your advice of going into cemeteries a little bit more because no one's hanging out there. And I've walked past my workplace once since I have been out of the building, and I just felt so sad going by. There was one car in the lot. We have one person who goes in to like maintain the building. And I was like, I just miss, we're having Zoom meetings, but I miss my people because they're really funny. And walking through industrial areas that nobody wants to go into, they're not really beautiful, but I've seen like deer and turtles and hawks and all kinds of things. And the video, what do you call them? Like bird cam and animal cams on the days when it's been raining, that's been helpful. Hey, listeners, you can drop us a line and let us know where you have been exploring during this quarantine. And if you've been discovering closer to home spots you would have otherwise overlooked. Maybe we can shift gears now to talk about the thing, which is Passover 2020.
I was about to say strangest Passover ever, but I'm sure it's not the strangest ever.
Not the strangest ever. I've seen some excellent memes. One was everyone trying to be Jewish right now, wearing masks since Purim, panic shopping like it's Passover and counting the days.
That's awesome.
I came across the wandering is over Seder, but it was actually a couple of years old and not related to this, so I was slightly disappointed in that.
I'm just thinking, like, this holiday is about plagues. washing your hands and drinking wine, which is kind of like all anyone is talking about right now. So
yeah, this is seriously, this is the first time I've had to search for matzah before a Seder. So I've had no trouble going to the local groceries and getting, like, I mean, the little local grocery stores in Hartford that, I don't know, non-locals wouldn't shop at. And I have no trouble finding toilet paper, like staples, everything's fine. But they do not have any Jewish food. So I was like, how am I going to get matzah? So this is how a friend earned her way into getting my secret secret parks map sent to her. Was she was going, she rides her bike as transportation. And she was going up to Bishop's Corner in West Hartford and was like, hey, I'm going to go to the Crown. And I was like, please help me. But she's not Jewish. So I'm telling, trying to explain to her what I wanted. And she's in the store and she's like, oh my God, everything's in Hebrew. I don't know what the heck this is. So she's showing the people there on her phone pictures. And she comes and she, we had a whole, like, I had a whole system so she could drop this off. Like I had a bag opened on my fence and then she was able to like slide things out of her bag into that. And I'm like staying back 20 feet. It was the most, that was the funniest thing to watch. Yeah. So people who are willing to run errands are awesome because I'm still waiting indefinitely for like a general grocery delivery.
That's a really nice story. I like that. Thankfully we were able to get a couple boxes of matzah before, before the delivery slots started, filling up like 2 weeks solid. So we secured our Passover food. It's definitely a very non-traditional Seder food-wise. Not that we're super traditional to begin with, but it's gonna be different this year, but that's fine because everything is different. So what can you do?
We're all doing the best we can. So when you say a little bit non-traditional, what has changed for you?
Oh, like we're not doing a Seder plate. We're not doing kind of a traditional meal the way you typically would. We got some Haggadahs when we went to scavenge the stuff for my mom. So we do have that. We're going to honor the holiday in our own little way.
I'm always bad at preparing. So this sort of acts as like a cover for how bad I am. I was talking about this, I think last time, that red wine is starting to give me headaches. And since we don't really know if ibuprofen is like a thing we should be taking at the moment, because the FDA is still trying to figure out if that makes like coronavirus symptoms like worse. They're saying like it doesn't, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to err on the side of caution and avoid giving myself a headache. So I have Prosecco now, thanks to booze delivery.
Okay. Well, they say that study or finding that suggested against ibuprofen said that acetaminophen was okay, but you're not supposed to take acetaminophen, I think within 24 hours of alcohol. So there's that. It's all like scary times.
Yeah. So I was like, well, it's just going to have to be Prosecco. And already I'm like, I have a friend who's a rabbi's wife and she was like, oh, how are you doing? What kinds of things do you have? And I'm like, I might need to use saltines if I can't get matzah. And I think I could just feel her. She's so sweet. She didn't say anything, but I could just tell she just had like a little cringe about that. So I was like, I don't want to have to tell her.
This is like sort of off topic, but I've been looking at, like Passover recipes and stuff on Instagram. And there's invariably someone in the comments on every post that says something like, we're not Jewish, but we're going to do Passover and we're going to make challah.
I have bread in the house and you know what? I think the bread is going to stay here. I think that's just how we're going
to
do things.
Yeah, it's hard to give up food that you've conscientiously hoarded, right?
Yeah, I'll skip it tonight, but I'm not going to waste. I might pretend that some raw garlic is horseradish, but like that's all I got. You know, I thought about to Zoom or not to Zoom. I go back and forth. I probably won't end up doing that, but I have like a few things starred in case I change my mind at the last minute. And what's interesting is how flexible people are being, even when you don't necessarily think of them as flexible. So I saw that there's an Orthodox rabbi who basically said, like, if you are someone who is alone, that this is very tough for you or whatever, feel free to call one of these helplines and go ahead and do this on the holiday or on Shabbos. And the phones will be on to answer. Don't use this for like just social calls or whatever. But like, if you were struggling, call. Because, and I was like, I never thought I'd see the day of like Orthodox being like, no, electronics, go for it. So, wow.
Yeah. I also saw that some authorities were approving like Zoom seders or online seders for people who it would be difficult for them to be alone otherwise. So yeah. But that's like Jewish law has always had to change, right? Because we're usually running from something.